As you board, please move across your car to make room for everyone, and kindly offer available seating to those needing special assistance. If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Howdy, hey, and welcome to another episode of Disney Assembled. I'm Troy.
And I'm Mimi.
And we are your happy little father-daughter podcast, here to create joy and share our love for all things Disney.
Disney Assembled is sponsored by our patrons over on Patreon. If you would like to join them, check out our website, disneyassembled.com. Click on the Patreon button and it'll send you right to the link. Or you can go to patreon.com/disneyassembled.
Yeah, please check that out. We'd appreciate your consideration there. Membership starts as little as $2 a month. And with that $2, you get access to all the exclusive patron-only content. All right, Mimi, it is Sunday, April. Is it April yet?
It is April.
April 7th, 2024. And this episode will be coming out later this evening. We have a great topic, I think, or at least I think it's an interesting topic that we thought of this week to share with our listeners out there. But yeah, anything going on that we want to talk about and, you know, bring it up in the world? Can I talk about our website for a second?
Sure.
You talk about going to our website to find our patron. If you have been to our website recently, it is in need of refreshing. I understand that. It's been a while. It's really hard for you and I to keep up with the website. We should. And I apologize for that, for those of you who like to visit the website. But I'm really thinking about redoing the website. So currently it's set up kind of like a blog, and each new episode of Disney Assembled was originally put in there as a new blog post. Mm-hmm. We have not updated that in quite some time. I guess the page that I'm most eager to update is our Disney Dad Joke of the Week page, because that's the page, believe it or not, that page gets the most traffic on our website. So anyone sort of Googling Disney Dad Jokes might find that page, right? And so that gets the most traffic. And I do need to update that with all of our dad jokes, the ones we've done recently. But I know you and I haven't talked about this before recording this episode, so I'm kind of blindsiding you with it. But I think we should do something different. I don't know if we should just be posting each new episode on the website, because most people are not listening to us through the website. They're listening to us either through Spotify or Apple Podcasts or the two major ones. So I'm not so sure that posting each episode is the best use of DisneyAssembled.com.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about it more behind the scenes, but website refresher on the way.
Yeah. If you guys that are listening have any ideas about what we might want to do with the website, we'd appreciate your perspective and any ideas you may have. I was kind of thinking, since Magic of the Mouse News is not operating currently, I don't know, is Magic of the Mouse News still operating?
No.
Okay. I mean, I know you were writing some articles. Maybe we can use our website to just post
our
editorial opinions about some of the Disney news that's coming out, because we usually don't do that on the show. That might be something different, right? Because we don't talk about that on the podcast. We don't talk about news very often.
Could be fun.
Could be something like that. Maybe we can do reviews. Like, we don't do a lot of reviews. We do written reviews of things. We don't do that very often. So I don't know. Those are some ideas. Yeah. But you guys that are listening to the show,
it's definitely a good idea. We just have to talk about it like us.
Right.
Yeah. So there's the website.
Yeah.
There isn't a whole lot going on over here, I don't think.
College search? Anything you want to say? Anyone?
Oh, yeah. I'm done with my college search. I've committed to a school. Yippee!
Yay, congratulations. Do you want to keep it a secret or do you want to share? It's up to you.
I have committed to the University of Texas at Austin. Hook 'em horns.
Congratulations.
Hook 'em horns.
Congratulations. Very good. And for what you want to study, one of the top five schools in the country.
I'm in the Moody College of Communication, on the communication studies track with an emphasis on political communication.
Very good.
It's a mouthful.
Congratulations. I appreciate it. And I can't wait. Can't wait to send you to college. Not because I don't want you here, but I can't wait for you to explore the rest of your life and to keep going and to continue to grow as a person. Fantastic.
I'm very excited.
We love it. Fantastic. And we are, as of right now, you and I talk about this regularly, like each week. The plan is to continue doing the show even after you start college. We'll have to figure out what the schedule looks like for that. But certainly on your end, you want to continue doing it.
Yep.
And if you want to do it, then I'll do it. That sounds great.
Cool.
All right. We have a great topic this week. We have a Disney dad joke of the week. We also have the answer to last week's Disney trivia question of the week.
Which nobody got.
Yeah, no one answered this question this week. I'm kind of surprised because I thought it was kind of easy, but maybe people knew the answer and they forgot to write in.
Or yeah, maybe they just thought it was too easy. Yeah.
Or maybe the people who keep getting the answer right every week decided to give someone else a chance and no one took the opportunity. It's all good, but we do have a new question this week, right? Because we'll give the answer to last week's question. And then we'll have this week's question. And then we'll high five and get on out of here, right?
Heck yeah.
Do you want to explain to everybody what we want to talk about this week in our main topic?
Yeah. So we I've talked about this before on the show and sort of specifically to one character, but we've decided to turn it into a big topic for a whole episode is things or films specifically, characters within films. That were maybe not as popular or not as successful when they first released. Like maybe they were liked, but not loved, weren't immediately a cult classic that have become sort of these staples or these very popular and, IPs that exist within Disney that everybody knows, everybody loves.
Right. So yeah. Originally they may have been either received kind of lukewarm, but over time they seem to have become quite popular.
Right.
In other words, these are things that have maybe more love for them today
than they did when they were
first released, right? And we're going to talk about specifically Disney movies today because some of these fall into the animation, Disney animation. Some of them are outside of Disney. There may be Lucasfilm or Marvel related. But we have five and we have two honorable mentions that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And of course, you guys that are listening, you can are welcome to share your opinion.
Yeah,
about maybe there's one that we didn't mention today.
Part of the conversation that I was having with Andrew when we were talking about like things that have just coming back. There is something else I wanted to say about our personal lives. I am so excited to announce that I, Mimi, am going to Walt Disney World with my two best friends. In some X time, some undetermined time that I will not be sharing with you guys.
Right.
But I will be going.
And not with the family.
Not
like
with the
on
family.
Your own.
On my own.
As an 18-year-old adult with her friends.
Big girl trip to Walt Disney World. We're staying at Pop Century because, you know,
money.
18-year-olds, right?
Right.
The cost of our whole trip equates to like two nights at the Poly. So we're fine.
Good. Did you
we're
do chilling. That? Did you contact our friend who helps us with
I
our
did.
Family trips?
I used Neil. Neil's amazing. And he was like, I got you. Just send me all your stuff. And I'm going. I'm so excited to, I feel so like, I don't know. Like, I'm obviously, I don't know. This is probably something you shouldn't talk about. But I'm excited to, pay for it, which is so stupid. But, I work really hard to, pay for the things that I want to do. And I want to do this. And it's, it's important to me. And we planned it. And obviously, I'm not being thrown to the wolves or anything. Like, I promise I'm not on my own to pay for a Disney trip. But, I'm excited to have that responsibility of, doing this sort of major trip.
Right.
And I know what you're thinking. Well, why aren't you guys going to Europe? That sounds like Europe is so much cooler. Well,
I'm almost willing to go to Europe for their high school graduation. So, I mean, that would be unusual.
We talked about, backpacking, right? Doing it cheap. But the cost of getting to Europe was more than the entire trip to Walt Disney World. And I was like, why don't we just do that? Neither of them have been. Neither of my two friends have been. And so I get to show them around and do all the things and do Genie. And we're going to go eat at a very special restaurant. And I'm so excited. And more details to come as the planning gets better. But I am going and I'm so excited.
I'm both excited and jealous, right? I keep asking if you need a chaperone and you keep insisting that no, you do not. So
do you want to stay at Pop Century?
I would stay in the garbage bin behind Pop Century if it could be at Disney World. Cause I would curl up in a duffel bag.
Don't say you would sneak in. What if Mr. Disney World hears you?
No, I don't want to be banned for life. No, I would obviously pay, but no, I'm proud of you. Congratulations. I know you've been working on this and the two friends that you're going are not big Disney World people like we have been
they've
recently.
They've never been. Yeah. And so I know
you're excited to show them around and kind of be their little.
And we're going to get little outfits.
Yeah.
And cool. They get magic bands. I'm so excited to take them through it for the first time and see all the characters and experience all the rides. And hopefully they've been teasing Tiana's a lot. Hopefully, okay, the timeline of when we're going may potentially align with the theoretical timeline of when Tiana's opens. So we might get to ride Tiana's. Like, that would be so cool. Are you kidding?
That would be really cool.
I will say, though, it's a party of three, which means I will be riding alone. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, it is okay. Yeah,
it's okay. No, I want them.
There are some rides with three of you fit in a row, like pirates and stuff like that.
No, yeah. And like something I said to them was like, I'm not like hosting them. Like, I'm not treating them to this, but like I get to like it's about, this trip is about them, not about me, I think. Like, it's a little bit about me because I get to be there and like, Disney World. But like, I don't want to be like overbearing. So it's about them and experiencing the things that like are just so special to me, so magical. And I'm so excited to see their looks on their faces when we walk into Toy Story Land. Like, are you kidding? Like, the in the Galaxy's Edge, like, I'm so excited to take them.
Cool.
So that's on their way, on its way, guys. There will be some content coming in.
Very good.
The kind of near future.
Would it ever have been in your imagination? Did you ever believe that when we started this show 4 years ago, we'd be sitting here 4 years later? First of all, we would be sitting here 4 years later recording the show.
Right, still doing it.
But secondly, that you would be talking about essentially doing a solo trip with, well, not solo, for a trip with three friends without your mother and father and your brother, like basically on your own as a young adult, getting ready to go to college, planning your own little special Disney trip before going off to school. I mean, was that even in the realm of possibility?
No, it's crazy. I'm crazy. So excited.
I can tell in your voice. I can hear it in
you really
in your
can.
Tone,
speak with
you're
such
beaming.
I have such an unenthusiastic tone. Like, my mom did my prom was yesterday, and my mom did my hair, and she was like, "Do you like it?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's great." I did really like it. I just like don't.
Should have gone with Leia buns.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Let's jump in.
Right. So it's smart. Listen, Neil's a pretty smart guy.
Neil's great.
He's a smart guy because he has to help. He's got to juggle all these different things, and he was very helpful. So you have to be smart to be a Disney planner. You also have to be smart to get our Disney trivia question of the week, don't you? Mm-hmm. We did not get an answer to last week's question.
No.
So why don't we go over last week's question, give the answer, and then at the end of the episode, everyone can hear this week's question so they can chime in. So okay, why don't you go over last week's question was...
What early character created by Walt Disney was described as being lucky? Also, I think it would be which early character, not what, you know, whatever. Right. What early character created by Walt Disney was described as being lucky? And obviously it is Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. That's the whole thing.
Right.
And nobody got it right.
Nobody got that one right.
So small claps for nobody.
What, little claps for the person who said, oh, I knew that. I should have answered that question. They would have given me the little claps. So we'll give little claps to you. All right. At the end of the episode, we'll have a new question for this week. So guys, pay attention all the way to the end. Get this week's question right. Get little claps for you.
Heck yeah.
All right. I enjoy doing little claps. Also enjoy the Disney Dad Joke of the Week. So before we get into this main topic, are you ready, Mimi, for the Disney Dad Joke of the Week?
I do. I am.
Ladies, gentlemen, Disney fans of all sorts, it is time for this week's Disney Dad Joke of the Week.
Oh, boy.
Mimi. When I was a child, one of the first trips we had to Disney World, we were on the Jungle Cruise. And I remember, last one of the Jungle Cruise, I didn't see this, but there was this animatronic iguana on its hind legs telling jokes. And I remember I was laughing and I looked at the Jungle Cruise skipper that was on our boat and I said, man, that iguana is really funny. And the Jungle Cruise skipper looked at me and said, I'm sorry, that's not an iguana. That's a stand-up chameleon.
Yes.
Get it?
Yes. That's a good one.
That is so meta. It's a dad joke inside of the Jungle Cruise, which could be another dad joke.
That's crazy.
That would be insane. They should have that. They should have the stand-up chameleon.
I can use it when I'm a skipper.
You should see if there's a lizard running around.
If I get to be a skipper on my college program, I will use that.
A stand-up comedian. All right. That is this week's Disney Dad Joke of the Week. If you have a dad joke of the Disney variety that you would like us to consider using on the show, you can send us an email, disneyassembled@gmail.com, or you can send us a message on the socials, all at Disney Assembled.
Graham,
Facebook.
Talk.
And Threads. Is that all of them?
Threads.
There's too many. We just need to focus on a couple of them. I'm getting tired of saying five things.
Graham, Talk, Book, and Twitter.
I think, Graham and Threads are basically the same.
Right.
and okay, talk.
Let's get into this. Okay. So things that have come back from a moment of unpopularity. Well,
originally maybe not have been as popular, but yeah, they've grown in popularity as time going right. on.
So
now before we go on the list, I attribute this because some of the things on the list might be of a generation that this was their childhood stuff. And as they've grown, this is what they remember Disney being. Mm-hmm. And so they have nostalgia for some of these things more than maybe I do. And maybe you have a different opinion. I don't know. Some of these may have been on your list too.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I think it's a good list. I think we have five. And you want to do the honorable mentions first or last?
No, we'll just do them last. It's not in any order. We just decided anyway.
Name five.
So at the top, we have the Goofy movie. I'm going to read a description for all the films. I'm going to read a description just so that if you don't know what it is, you can get acquainted. Okay, so though Goofy means well, his amiable cluelessness and klutzy pratfalls regularly embarrass his awkward adolescent son, Max. When Max's lighthearted prank on his high school principal finally gets his longtime crush, Roxanne, to notice him, he asks her on a date. Max's trouble at school convinces Goofy that he and the boy need to bond over a cross-country fishing trip like the one he took with his dad when he was Max's age, which throws a kink in his son's plans to impress Roxanne. So, the Goofy movie has, in the last, I want to say, like, 2 or 3 years since the park opened, post-COVID, this has been the spike of the Goofy movie.
And it opened in what year? What year did the Goofy movie open?
It came out in 1995.
1995, okay.
And nobody talked about it until like 3 years ago, I think. Because all of a sudden, the parks opened up post-pandemic, and you could meet Max and Goofy in Hollywood Studios. And they are insanely popular character meet and greets. Like, people...
And there's some music in the Goofy movie that a lot of people have grown to enjoy over time. And I think Powerline is sort of the... Is that the band, the dance, the musician? Oh, excuse me, I hit the table. Again, 1995, that would make, you know, that movie almost 30 years old.
Yeah, going on 30.
So it makes sense that if you were 10 or so at the time that the Goofy movie came out, or five, and you watched that movie, you would be, you know, 20, 25 years old right now, which, again... That's big segment of some Disney popularity.
But I don't think it's the nostalgia that attributes any sort of growing likeness, because people didn't like the Goofy movie. Like, it's not like people disliked it. It was just not like a blockbuster hit that everybody talked about. And so I feel like during the pandemic, I think really the pandemic is what changed a lot of these. People had nothing to do but sit at home and watch old movies from their childhood. Right. Although the nostalgia, like that's where the nostalgia comes into play. Like, they're choosing to watch the Goofy movie because they watched it as a kid. But when you watch it again as an adult, you realize just something clicks. Like, you just really like these characters or the plot or something very sentimental about it, with Goofy being a dad, and maybe even something that resonates with the 25-year-old or 30-year-old man who might have a kid versus that same guy when he was 10 when the movie came out. Right. Like, I think there's some of that goes on with the Goofy movie, because it's very millennial focused with its attraction,
right?
Which would have been the generation that watched it as a kid,
right?
I think it's a really interesting and very sentimental relationship between Goofy and Max,
right?
And I think that's what people really are gravitating towards.
Absolutely. So the Goofy movie, not so popular maybe when it first came out, but has grown in popularity and appreciation over the years, and as of today, it's, you know, a lot of people like that movie. So good stuff.
Right.
All right. The next, you want to introduce the next one on the list?
Yeah. The next one is like a series of three movies, and it's the Star Wars prequel film. So the ones that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, The Phantom Menace in 99, Attack of the Clones in 02, and Revenge of the Sith in 05.
So these series of films have grown in popularity recently.
Not even just popularity, like likability. Like, on my little Google that has the names of the Star Wars prequels and their little descriptions, which I'm not going to read one for all three of them, there's a little like Google like fill in the answer question, and it's like, is it okay to like the Star Wars prequels? And the guy that responded is, no, not at all. Like, people really hated these films so
I think
much.
First of all, for those people who were around when the original trilogy came out, around my age, these films, the prequels, there was a lot of hype for.
Right.
Now, let me be clear. A lot of people went to these films. Like, they made lots of money.
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely.
But I think they were expecting a different level of, I would say, maybe
just the traction.
I think maybe the special effects weren't like, there was ambition beyond what the capacity for special effects could do for these films. And I think part of it was the vision of George Lucas was sort of stifled by, which to today's standards would be, substandard CGI type special effects.
Right.
Also, I think George Lucas as a visionary is a genius in the story, but in terms of writing dialogue, the dialogue in some of these films was quite kind of cringy. Right.
Right.
And I think a lot of people panned like Anakin, you know, and his whole thing about hate sand and the Jar Jar Binks thing. But right. Even today, as you can tell, if you go to the, if you look at the news on the different cons that are out there and the appreciation for the Star Wars series that are coming out on Disney Plus, you know, Hayden Christensen, there's been a sort of a renaissance. People love him,
right,
as the original,
hate him.
Right. As the original Anakin and the Vader, you know, he and Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan are beloved. I mean, absolutely beloved. I mean, they are more popular today because of those roles, maybe, than they were even at the time of the movie coming out. Even the character, I mean, the actor that did Jar Jar, very publicly talked about his battle with mental health and the abuse he took online and everything from, you know, the way people responded to the Jar Jar Binks character. But if you notice, you know, there's been a resurgence in appreciation for even that character,
right,
and for that particular actor in particular. He had a live action role in,
Was it in
Obi-Wan?
I think he
was the Jedi. No, he was the Jedi that saves Grogu. So I think that was that in Mandalorian season 3 where they did that? Or is it one of those?
I apologize. It was in Obi-Wan.
But he was as they were doing part of the Order 66 where he saves, right, Grogu and gets him off the palace. So I think the Star Wars prequels, I think today, even though there are some people who still don't like the films, especially Revenge of the Sith, it's maybe more popular today and beloved today than they were when they originally were released.
I think part of what happened here is the movies came out, everybody hated them, and then like 10 years later, it was easier to zoom out and just sort of see the purpose of them, right? Like versus, I think I can resonate and understand and empathize with coming off of the three biggest movies, like of the 70s and 80s, right? Like the Star Wars films, absolutely immediately iconic, immediately money-making films, right? Films people loved. And then you get this sort of prequel series that doesn't have the same vibe. Like, doesn't have the same dynamics between young people. It's more about like an older generation, and there isn't a whole lot of known lore, and
there wasn't a lot of humor. I mean, Han Solo,
funny. Like,
there was some humor with Han Solo's character.
It just, there wasn't enough, like,
yeah, these movies were very serious.
Right. There wasn't enough to it. And I think that it was hard for people to latch onto it then. But once you zoom out and you can see the purpose of them, because I think those movies do have to be dark, do have to be serious to explain away the actual trilogy, right? People were able to come around to that a little bit better. And also the sequel trilogy came out and people just jumped from the prequel hate train to the sequel hate train. And
I think in 20 years, the sequels will have the same place in Star Wars fans' hearts as the prequels do today.
Something I've noticed a lot about Star Wars fans is that they hate change. Star Wars fans hate change. They hate new things. Every single time a new thing comes out, they always have something horrible to say about it. Like, let's be honest here. Not everybody loved The Mandalorian when it came out. And now people are just beyond obsessed.
I don't know if they hate new things. I think what they don't like is there's a tone to the story and the mythology. And when you tell a story and you introduce characters that seem confusing to that tone and mythology, it doesn't make sense to them. Like, Rogue One is, you're not a big fan.
No.
But it is pretty universally discussed as one of the two best Star Wars movies out there. And it has nothing, there are none of the main characters are in that film. So you can make a very good Star Wars film without Han and Luke and Leia.
It's about
and
the style.
Chewie and Star and Vader, right? Even though Vader was a little bit in Rogue One, but
it's about the style. and the tone. And
what it all boils down to is good storytelling and having to be able to do the graphics to back up the story are important.
Right.
And I think that part of the Star Wars prequels, it just felt like the ambition was greater than the ability to actually produce it on film. And that sort of took away from the film experience, because you can see clearly what they wanted to accomplish. And it may have been better to have been more than three movies, quite frankly, right? But
I think
it
Sith
is what it
is. The best one. And yeah, it's because the most happens in that movie. Okay, the next one, our third one on our list, is The Emperor's New Groove, which, although hasn't seen the same kind of resurgence, same kind of renaissance as the Goofy movie or even the Star Wars prequels, it's definitely become very sort of, almost like ironically something that people really enjoy, right, even though they are very aware that it's terrible. Well, but it's really not terrible. Like, it's actually pretty good.
Well, do you want to do a description of it for people? So Emperor's New Groove came out in 2000, right? And the description, basic description, arrogant young Emperor Kuzku is transformed into a llama by his power-hungry advisor, the devious diva Yzma. Stranded in the jungle, Kuzku's only chance.
Kuzco
is what I say. Kuzku?
No.
Kuzco. Dyslexia. His only chance to get back home and reclaim the life, the high life, rests with a good-hearted peasant named Pasha. Together, they must return Kuzco. Did I say it right? Kuzco?
Yeah, Kuzco.
Kuzco to the throne before Yzma tracks them down and finishes them off. I think part of the popularity of this film, so here's an interesting take. Here's Papa's take on why The Emperor's New Groove has grown in popularity. It is funny, but I'm going to say it's because the Kronk, the henchman for Yzma,
right,
voiced by Patrick Warburton, who also does the instructions for Soren, who played Putty on Seinfeld.
Who played,
he's got a very distinctive voice.
Lemony Snicket in Adventures of
Right, right. Notes. Exactly. The humor of that film is pretty good. It's good. It's a funny film, but it's that meme where, you know, pull the lever, Kronk, and the wrong lever, that meme, that gif, I think is completely responsible for how popular this film is, because
probably
that gets so much airtime, and it, you know, the Kronk talking with the squirrels, right? He can talk squirrel, he can communicate with the squirrels.
Yeah. People just love the villain, right, and love
and Kronk. Kronk's beloved.
They love Yzma and they love Kronk, and it drives people to watch that film. And
they forget that David Spade was the voice of Kuzco, and they forget that John Goodman was the voice of Pasha, I believe. But I think the Yzma, Kronk, and really Kronk. Kronk doesn't get nearly enough love.
Well, he got a sequel. Kronk's New Groove is
true,
Emperor's New Groove sequel.
And that tells you everything you need to know about Kronk.
People just loved.
Did Kronk make our list of the best henchmen or
I don't know.
Side character? He should have.
Either way, people just, it's not the same kind of renaissance. It really isn't. There isn't exactly Kuzco merch everywhere, right? It's not like that. It's just a very quiet understanding that people really enjoy.
And it's one of those films that people say over and over again. I hear this a lot. I want to go back and watch that again. Right. I want to go back and watch that again.
Like, you get reminded that it exists and you're like, oh yes, this.
Right. So definitely I think Emperor's New Groove is one of those films that I think today is probably appreciated more
definitely,
than it was when it first came out.
Okay.
All right. Next.
The next one I think is really interesting because there's a lot of things. I have a lot of things to say about this one. So the next one is Lilo and Stitch. If you don't know what that is, go watch it. But the description is a tale of a young girl's close encounter with the galaxy's most wanted extraterrestrial. Lilo is a lonely Hawaiian girl who adopts a small, ugly dog whom she names Stitch. Stitch would be the perfect pet if he weren't in reality a genetic experiment who has escaped from an alien planet and crash-landed on Earth. Through her love, faith, and unwavering belief in Ohana, the Hawaiian concept of family, Lilo helps unlock Stitch's heart and gives him the ability to care for somebody else. So, Lilo and Stitch came out in 02, in June of 02. And this film hit a little bit too close to home after 9/11, it was just super dark place to go. But I've done a lot of research. Like, we did a research project on like the effect of 9/11 in the media for my US history class last year. And Lilo and Stitch for the bulk of the fighting scenes, were supposed to be like the ships like crashing into the
At the end of the film, right?
In the village in Hawaii.
Right. And in the film, it's a spaceship that they're riding around in.
Right. And it becomes like this film became sort of not like a symbol of 9/11. Like nobody was like, oh my gosh, like this is propaganda. Da, da, da. Nobody was saying that. But it has become this, it was this weird moment in American history where people didn't really want to hear about things crash landing into the world, right?
Because originally it was drawn as an airplane, right? And then they had to change it. They changed it after 9/11 to be a spaceship,
right? But like aside from that, like people were not in the headspace to want to watch a film like this because it involved some sort of aircraft crashing and landing somewhere and hurting a bunch of people, right? And just sort of the national mentality going into this movie, like, wasn't very strong. And it wasn't to say that people didn't like it. It just wasn't this like crazy hit. Like it wasn't everybody's favorite film. It wasn't the movie of the summer, right? But obviously now, if you look anywhere on the Shop Disney website, if you walk into Walt Disney World, if you are on Disney Instagram or Disney TikTok, Stitch is everywhere. Millennials have just dug their claws into this character. They love Stitch. There is more Stitch merch arguably in the park than there is Mickey Mouse merch. Like people just love him.
Yeah. Stitch has become the thing. Lilo is still appreciated. And once in a while there'll be a Lilo meet and greet, but Stitch has become very, very popular as a character. And I think that there've been a lot of Polynesian sort of island based IPs in Disney. And you would think that Lilo and Stitch would be, I mean, Moana is not on our list, but the Moana is the one that overshadows all of it, right? Because even at the Polynesian, they've rethemed the rooms to Moana. They have a little Moana.
Yeah, but the meet and greet in Ohana is still with Stitch, not with Moana.
Right. So Stitch, I think Lilo and Stitch, the movie was well received when it came out. But I think what we're talking about in this episode is the fact that A, it has become more and more popular over time. And the fact that the Stitch character has become extremely popular.
Right. Like a Jiminy Cricket, Tinkerbell type figure. Like people, there are Stitch ears. There are Stitch sunglasses. There are Stitch t-shirts. There are shorts. There are flip-flops. There are like people, there is just so much Stitch stuff everywhere. People love him.
Right.
Okay.
Next on the list.
Next on the list, jumping over to Pixar.
And this one I had a little bit of a question because I wasn't sure where you were going with it.
Let Me Cook.
But yeah, Cook.
Let Me Cook. That's just funny. Ratatouille. Let Me Cook. Okay, so Remy dreams of becoming a great chef despite being a rat in a defiant, definitely rodent-phobic profession. He moves to Paris to follow his dream, and with the help of hapless garbage boy Linguini, he puts his culinary skills to the test in the kitchen, but he has to stay in hiding at the same time, with hilarious consequences. Like he hides in the hat, right? In the chef hat. Remy eventually gets the chance to prove his culinary abilities to a great food critic, but is the food good? This is a Pixar animation. So this has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. And my thing with this is, unlike Goofy Movie, unlike Star Wars prequels, unlike Emperor's New Groove, kind of a little bit more like Lilo and Stitch, this movie was extremely well-liked when it was released. Like 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it was nominated for a few awards. Like people really very much liked this movie, and they think it's creative and they think it's different, and it's not a retelling of another fairy tale. Like it's very independent of its own thing. Came out in 2007.
But I think at first, when it first was released, it didn't have the greatest opening. I think this is the film where it didn't have the greatest opening.
But with the gun, is that what you're talking about? Or opening?
No,
like,
opening
in the
like
theater.
In terms of people seeing it and appreciating it. And then it sort of grew and grew and grew and grew and had this real long, pardon the rude pun, but it had a long tail, right? It lasted and eventually found its place as among the top Pixar films, right?
And I think like my whole point about this movie is, yes, it was well-liked. It had this weird sort of run in the box office, but truly what I think is given its rise in popularity is the opening of Remy's Ratatouille Adventure in Walt Disney World.
France.
There are attractions that exist in France that don't give the same kind of popularity to their characters as Remy's does. Like, the fact of the matter is, the American parks are the cornerstone parks. And if things happen there, it changes the culture of the fandom, right? Like, I mean, they're building, I mean, they have Zootopia Land in Hong Kong and nobody has anything to say about that, right? But Ratatouille, you know, taking over the France Pavilion, sprinkled Remy merch everywhere. Like, the little, the shoulder rider is so popular. Like, they're selling it for like $35. That's how popular it is because people are buying it at $35. The ears fly off the shelves. They have necklaces. They have t-shirts. Like, Remy has become a character that people just think is so silly and they love him and they love the little rat that cooks and they love that little ride. And it's just so, it's so silly. Like, people just love that kid.
I think the music of Ratatouille has grown in popularity over the years because most people don't see it as a musical. There's not a lot of singing, but the music, the musical score is fantastic. I think the story, it's one of those films also that if you're one of those movie detectives and you're looking for Easter eggs and little things, there's a lot of them in Ratatouille. Like, my favorite is they have the mime on the street and it's Bon Voyage, who's guy from The Incredibles, right? So I think that I really like Ratatouille, and I think it's had a long tail existence. And yeah, I think today it's probably more popular than it was when it first came out.
Yeah. So right. Those are our five. Yeah. The two honorable mentions.
A couple of honorable mentions here.
Yeah. I think I can just sort of list a few things as to why I think they're popular now, but we don't need to go too far into it. Do you want to go first on this one?
No, I'll let you do it. That's fine.
Okay. So the first honorable mention we have is Big Hero 6, and it's on this list as an honorable mention because I don't think it's been out for long enough to really see its overarching effect on the fandom. But now, currently, my prediction is that in the future, Baymax will become a Stitch-like presence, both in the parks and in the fandom. And you can already kind of see it now. Like, this growth of Baymax is going to explode right.
I think Baymax, the short series on Disney Plus, is fantastic. I think Baymax definitely carries the popularity because the film itself is okay to me. It's okay. It's not my favorite, but the Baymax character really connects with a lot of people because the whole concept is that Baymax cares for others. He goes out of his way. His whole existence is around making people feel good, be healthy, be loved and cared for. And I think in the world that we live in, which is full of stress and anxiety, and there's a lot of issues going on, that the fact that there is an entity, even though this is obviously a fictitious character, doesn't really exist, an entity whose only existence and only reason for existence is to care for others is a really important thing. And I think Baymax plays that role for a lot of Disney fans. And so I agree with you. I think Big Hero 6 continues to be popular mostly off of Baymax, the need for a character like Baymax.
And San Francisco just being built in California also.
Right.
And then the last one, Age of Ultron.
I'm going to Marvels on this one.
Going to the Marvels. People really didn't like this movie at all when it came out. And I personally really like it. And I would put it in my top 15. I really like Age of Ultron. I think it's special. I think it's different. But
well, I think the acting, the Ultron itself, James Spader.
Yeah.
Fantastic voicing for that character. But it introduces us to, it was so important to the first part of the Marvel development, the MCU development. You know, Wanda comes into that. And of course, Wanda, Scarlet Witch, has blown up in popularity because of those films. And of course, the whole destruction of Sokovia, which led to Captain America Civil War,
right,
which led to, you know, the Avengers breaking apart and having to come together for, you know, Infinity War and Endgame.
Right. But like, people really didn't like Age of Ultron, like, at all. Like, people really don't.
It was kind of all over the map, but I think it's,
but I think
it's a pivotal film in the series because it helps change directions.
Very well.
And to lead to the big conclusion, you had to do a quick change of direction, and Age of Ultron helped bring that change of direction.
And I think part of what has brought back some popularity to it is definitely the Wanda character. With WandaVision and with Doctor Strange, like, people just, you know, myself included, have just latched onto this character. And for fans who are new to this series or new to the MCU and don't really know a lot about where she came from, they watch this movie. And without context, it's a good movie. Like, I think part of why Marvel fans don't like it is what you said. It was like, almost too sharp of a change in a different direction. And I think that's definitely like part of why people didn't like it. But if you watch it cold, right, it's a good movie, right?
And I hope Ultron as a villain comes back in some capacity.
Ultron is a really cool villain, and Jarvis and Vision is
Vision
becoming
is created in that. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Captain America picking up the hammer is in this one, and like
budging it,
but like, you know, like so many things happen in this movie. I don't see why people don't like it more. Like, I don't know. It's on its way back. You can definitely see it, but people did not receive it well.
Hey, there you go. That's our five movies that have become more popular today than they were when they first released, and a couple of honorable mentions. Mimi, how can our friends who are listening let us know their thoughts about our list? Or maybe they have a suggestion of a Disney related film that they think is more popular today than it was when it first released.
Yeah. So you guys can send us an email, disneyassemble@gmail.com, or you can send us a message on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, or Threads, all at Disney Assembled. But if you guys want to support the show further, the link to our TeePublic, Patreon, buy us a Dole Whip, all that super fun stuff, is on our website, disneyassemble.com. What you should also do when you send us a message is answer this week's Disney trivia question of the week, which is, which Pirates of the Caribbean film won the Academy Award for Best Special Effects? One more time.
I don't think it says special effects.
Visual effects.
Okay.
It's same thing. Which Pirates of the Caribbean film won the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects?
Right.
So, like I said, at Disney Assembled, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Threads.
Yeah, you can check out our YouTube channel as well if you like to do that. We'd appreciate a subscription there because we have a channel and there's stuff there to watch. And you might like it. So subscribe.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, we'd love it. All right, high five.
High five.
Good show this week.
Good show.
All right, ladies, gentlemen, Disney fans everywhere, we hope that this show brought a smile to your face, some extra magic to your day, and an all-important sprinkle of pixie dust to your week. Thank you so much again for listening. And until next time,
see you real soon.
Gentlemen, please collect your belongings, wash your head and step, and take small children by the hand.